What's up, Clips Dogs?
Ooh, how's everyone doing?
Who's barking after that loss? Man, another tough loss. We tied our season losing streak
season,
four straight.
We out here.
But you know what? Things are looking up. Things are going to get better.
Yeah, we play the Warriors on Friday.
What could go wrong?
Good times.
But we still got a heck of a show lined up for you. In case you didn't know, I'm William the Opinion Updike.
And I'm Positive Chuck Mockler.
And we are Locked On Clippers, part of the Locked On NBA Network.
Yeah.
Coming at you 5 days a week with all the Clippers content.
Yeah.
Be sure and subscribe on iTunes if you haven't already. And if you have, please leave us a rating. Maybe a comment. It'd be great. We'd love to know what you guys think.
Let us know.
Yeah. We completely alter the show based on your feedback. That's how important it is to us. So today we're going to start things off with a little recap of last night's another crushing loss against the Jazz.
This was the crushingest of losses.
Yeah, it was not great. And then today is Thursday, so we've got our regular weekly segment for you, Thirsty Thursdays.
Oh, yeah.
We talk about who and what we're thirsty for. And then we're just going to do kind of a general NBA wrap-up to close out the show. So all that and more coming up right about now.
So if you didn't watch the game last night, the Utah Jazz beat the Los Angeles Clippers 129-109.
Yeah.
Did not expect this drubbing.
I did not.
You put
either.
It very well last night when we were watching the game.
Oh, what did I say?
You just said, I didn't expect us to just get beat up by
disrespected?
20. Yeah, disrespected by 20 points.
Yeah.
This was a doozy, folks.
Yeah, it was, I don't know, man. It was rough. And it's a super bummer because there are some encouraging stats, which we'll like dig apart
for
a little bit later. But overall, man, this game never felt close.
It was horrific.
Yeah.
We've seen this game before. We saw it against the Pels earlier this week.
Yeah.
We go down by 10-plus points multiple times. And, it's just like watching the tide go out. You know, the first wave comes in on our comeback, and it looks good, and it looks close. Oh, and then we have to do a second comeback, and that doesn't look as good.
Yeah.
And then the third comeback comes up even more short. And
yeah.
We just don't have the energy. Even Trez is saying this in the postgame. He's like, we don't have the energy to do this. If Trez doesn't have the energy to do something, no one else in the world has the energy to do it.
100%.
Let's get some quick stats for you guys. Lou Williams led the Clippers with 23-6-6. He was fantastic.
He was really solid.
Absolutely amazing. Tobias had an ugly 17. Avery Bradley had his, one of the best games of the year.
Yeah.
For him. And a 20-point loss.
Of course. What could be more true to form?
Wouldn't have it any other way.
He should not be named. Gallo had a really rough shooting night.
Especially on Italian night. It was brutal to watch.
He went 30% from three, basically, and 21% overall field goal percentage.
What was up with it?
Finished with 9 points. I don't know. He hasn't really looked like that, so I want to just chalk it up to...
It was the tooth thing?
Yeah, maybe it's a tooth thing. Maybe. He just had a couple of bad games, and... I don't know.
For the Jazz, Donovan Mitchell had 28. Rudy Gobert, had 23 and 22. I think we mentioned he might have a 20-20 game.
Yeah.
Jay Crowder had 23 and Korver had 19. So game flow-wise, we ended the first quarter down 9 and then actually tied the game with 4 minutes left in the second. And then from there, we just kind of let them do whatever they wanted.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, we... Got outscored by 9 in the first, 9 in the third, and 5 in the fourth. And we outscored them one quarter, the second quarter, by all of 2 points.
Hey.
So,
big
really, really chipping away at that deficit. Just some stuff, like I said, there was some stuff that was kind of encouraging.
Yeah.
We shot much better from three than they did. Their starters shot a collective 0% from three, according to stats.nba.com.
Unbelievable that Joe Ingles didn't make a three and we lost this game by 20 points.
Yeah, really, 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 really bizarre. I mean, their second unit is way deeper than I ever gave it credit for.
100%. It caught us off guard. I think it caught Doc off guard, too.
Yeah. So, and some other just encouraging stats for us. We crushed them on the fast break. We had 20 points to their 5.
Unbelievable.
Which is really, really solid. Love to see that. We've been working on our fast break defense. We were able to get more second chance points. We had 12 to their 10, so pretty close there. And we actually didn't get murdered in the paint. It was like 46-54. But playing against a team with their sort of size, I guess I would think that we would get outscored by quite a bit in the paint. And it really wasn't too bad. And we also did win the turnover battle by a single turnover. We had 12 to their 13.
Hey, win is a win. Yeah, I mean... So the biggest letdown for me was, I mean, just the defense.
Yeah.
There was no real system.
Did we get a stop all game?
I don't think so.
Oh, no. Montrez led the Clippers in blocks with one.
It seemed like we were just hoping they were going to miss shots.
Yeah.
Like, yeah.
Which we talked about in the game preview is like being a somewhat viable option because their three-point shooting percentage is so poor.
Yeah. Which, and it was this game.
Yeah.
Which was so incredible. So our defense, there doesn't seem to be any collective understanding on what our guys are really, what they're supposed to be doing. Doc mentioned a trust thing, which we'll get into on Thirsty Thursdays. The paint was wide open all night.
Yeah, it really was.
Which is kind of baffling when you're playing against a team with Rudy Gobert on it.
Yeah.
He doesn't shoot from anywhere else.
Yeah, well, and Donovan Mitchell, who I feel like, I mean, can shoot the ball, but he's like definitely more of like a rim scoring close guy.
And he got whatever he wanted at the rim.
Yeah.
He played absolutely incredible. And then on the offensive side of the ball, we kept going at Gobert in the paint.
Yeah, yeah. There was, I mean, he only had four blocks, but it felt like 40.
It felt like, I mean, I wouldn't be surprised if he altered 35 of our shots.
Yeah.
Like, he had four blocks. Doc said after the game, he said, I thought it was silly about how we kept challenging Gortat. Well, do you control the team?
Yeah.
If you think this is silly, say something. It's Italian night. Fusilli pasta all around, if you will.
Yes, fusilli all around.
It does
seem like Doc got outcoached, though.
He got unbelievably outcoached.
We weren't able to get to the line like we normally do.
This is where I'm like, you got outcoached.
Yeah, so we took 14 free throw attempts.
That's a half for us.
Yeah, as opposed to their 37. And like the Jazz, I believe the Jazz are in the bottom 10 in terms of fouls committed per game. So I really think that this was an error on our side.
It was an error on like, I mean, I guess he was maybe telling them to be aggressive in the paint to try and draw fouls.
Yeah.
But that doesn't make any goddamn sense.
No.
No one was doing anything that they're used to do, that they're usually doing, except for Lou.
Yeah.
Lou seemed like the only one who was really kind of his old self.
Yeah. So I want to float this.
Let's talk about anything.
We're going to talk some lineups, but I wanted to float this out there. We've been talking about a certain guard who maybe should be moved out of the starting unit. And I'm kind of thinking both should be.
Yeah. Flom had a good thing on this on Twitter.
Yeah. I think
Rich Homie Flom on Twitter, if you're not following him.
I think that with how effective the lineup was, let me just pull it up here right quick. How effective the lineup was last night and has been, and this isn't just a single game sample size, but like just last night, the lineup of Patrick Beverley, Lou Will, Tobias Harris, Gallo, and Harrell, they were one of the few lineups to have a positive plus minus.
Yeah.
And they played all of 6 minutes together but had 22 points, four boards and two assists.
That's great.
And like the lineup looked good too. Like it's not just empty stats. I feel like it really passed the eye test.
It was meaningful stats.
Yeah. So I think that maybe it is time to put our two starting guards, Avery Bradley and Shea.
Just switch, flip flop that starting guard situation.
Yeah.
I'm fine with that.
Especially if they're already going to be playing, you know, like 6-plus minutes a game with, you know, other starters out there.
Yeah, there's so much overlap.
Yeah.
Flom had an interesting take where you keep Lou Will on the second lineup.
Okay.
And you move Shea and Bradley down to the second lineup. And I think he was bringing Beverly and Tywall up to be the 1-2 or something like that. Or maybe just playing. He wanted, the point of it was playing Lou, Avery, and Shea together so they can kind of feed off of Lou's offense.
Lou, Avery, and Shea?
Yeah.
In like a three-guard thing? I like that lineup.
So Shea can kind of learn how, because like right now, the starters are horrendous right now.
Yeah.
The starters are playing so bad.
Yeah, they got outscored last night 78-53.
I mean, at half, you know, we were down, what was it? We were down 6 at half or something like that, 9 or something.
Yeah.
I think we were down 6, and then we played like 3 minutes of the third quarter, and we were just down like 12.
Yeah.
It was just an immediate, like, we didn't know what the hell we were doing.
Yeah, we were down by 7 at the half.
7, excuse me. Sorry, continue your lineup talk.
So, and then like a interesting lineup that didn't get a lot of time, and this goes into how I feel like maybe Doc was getting a little bit out-coached.
Yeah.
But there was another lineup that was especially good against their second unit that we couldn't really establish any sort of strong footing or like get our heads above water on.
Yeah.
But the lineup of Lou Will, Patrick Beverly, Sindarius Thornwell, Mike Scott, and Harrell was the most effective lineup of the night in their limited 2.5 minute sample size.
They were +8 in 2.5 minutes in a 20-point blowout.
Yeah. And they in 2.5 minutes they put up 8-4-2 with only a single turnover. Like, I mean,
small
it was like
sample,
a,
but it's like it's, we needed something.
Small sample, but I feel like even in that small sample, it's worth putting up a little bit more. I also thought that Boban and Motley played great.
We got to talk about the Boban thing, man.
Yeah.
So we chatted a little bit about it yesterday. How this seemed like it lined up to be a Boban game.
Yeah, definitely. I think that even Gobert is a good match.
He's the,
for Boban.
He is the.
He's an old style center who doesn't like.
Doesn't stretch the floor.
He can get boxed out, you know, and he can be inefficient even when he's like 10 feet from the basket.
Boban's bigger than he is weight-wise, so he can push him back.
Yeah.
Like, he doesn't have the passing of Jokic.
Yeah.
He doesn't have the shot. Yes, the pick and roll is still a liability, but that's always going to be a liability when Boban's on the floor.
Yeah.
And Gobert isn't necessarily that fast of a guy.
Yeah.
Boban played the last 4 minutes of this game.
Yeah.
You're down 20, man.
Yeah, the garbage time is a little bit baffling. Motley, who, you know, maybe wouldn't have been as effective in a larger sample size, still finished with 5-1-2 in four minutes.
And he actually looked like he could have maybe matched up against Gobert. Because Gobert's a skinnier guy.
Yeah.
Motley can't match up against a lot of centers.
Yeah.
He needs kind of the lankier matchup.
Definitely.
But it seemed like his energy and stuff, like, at least this lineup looked like they wanted to be out there.
Yeah. Yeah. And, I mean, I want to attribute some of this to, like, it's just that middle of the season where it's getting kind of grinding, I'm sure,
for the guys. And the Jazz are streaking.
And the Jazz are streaking. And, you know, we knew this was going to be a hard game. I, you know, like I said, I just didn't expect to get disrespected like
this. By so much, man. I don't know. I mean, all around it was like, you mentioned the bright spots, which were great, you know. What were Shea numbers? Shea played a little more than we thought he was going to play.
Yeah, Shea played 22 minutes, 50% field goal percentage, ended with 8-1-2, but more turnovers than assists.
How many turnovers?
4.
Damn. It was a rainy day game is what it felt like.
It really did.
Want to give a big shout out to anyone.
You know, that's probably what it was.
It was the damn rain.
It was definitely the rain.
Our whole team's got seasonal affective disorder right now. Want to give a big shout out to those who tuned in on the live stream last night. We were pretty upset on that whole thing. Most people were. Another shout out to Utah Jazz Twitter.
Oh, yeah. Man, Jazz fans, give yourself a pat on the back.
Apparently, they have a horrible reputation on Twitter. Apparently, a lot of other teams don't like them.
Oh, really?
On Twitter. But, like, all the Utah fans that interacted before and after the game,
uh-huh.
Like, you know, they were obviously...
happy to have won.
They're happy to have won, but it wasn't in any, like... it was, like, genuine joy to have won, not, like, roasting us or anything like that.
Yeah, that's fair.
Like, it was very level-headed, cordial chatter, I would say.
I like that. I actually subscribe to their subreddit. They're a pretty fun community of fans.
Yeah, so shout out to them. I don't know. On to the Warriors?
Yeah.
tough loss. Coming up after this, going to be talking a little bit more about this game in Thirsty Thursdays. But first, you guys, if you're following multiple Locked On Podcast Network podcast, go check out Locked On Net on Twitter and Instagram. It aggregates everything. The stories on Instagram are great. You get a little more information about local breaking news. Also, if you have a smart speaker, tell your dang smart speaker to play podcast Locked On Clippers.
Playing podcast.
That's exactly what it's going to sound like. All right, coming up after this is some quick Thirsty Thursday.
All right, so you said that you're thirsty for the old defense.
Where did it go?
I do not know, man.
Like, at the beginning of the season, we weren't Clamp City.
No.
I'm not saying that at all.
No.
But we weren't Civ City.
Yeah.
If you will.
Yeah. I don't know. The inability to get any sort of, like, any sort of stops and clutch moments is, I don't know, man. It's
haunting.
It's very haunting. yeah, like they could not slow down the Jazz or the Pelicans really to save their lives in games that like weren't completely unwinnable. This one more so.
This one more so, but still not even in that realm of like from zero to the Warriors.
Yeah.
This is still like only a six.
Yeah, definitely.
And the Pelicans are...
This is what I would consider to be a somewhat evenly ranked like match team, like looking at the matchup.
Everything overall, I agree 100%. At home for us.
Yeah.
Everyone's healthy.
Yeah.
I couldn't agree more. It just like... I don't know what Rex Kalamian's doing.
I don't either.
Other than like mucking up kind of... I think he's putting too many wrinkles in.
What happens to this coaching staff if we don't make the playoffs? Do you think that we see a change or no?
I don't.
Yeah, that's fair.
It sucks.
That's probably fair. I mean, it's also like it's also just way too soon to jump.
Yeah,
like,
we're gonna get a bunch of new guys next year.
I think that the front office is right in not trying to like do anything crazy
just,
with
like,
the coaching staff. But the defense definitely does need work.
And this is where Doc had a quote about the switches. He's about from last night's game. He said, "One guy misses his switch, the next guy doesn't trust him to pick it up, and so that guy doesn't switch on the next play." Which I'm like, okay, feels like you're maybe passing the buck a little bit.
Yeah.
And then he gave a classic, "We have to be better" quote, where it was like, we have to be better. We have to go individually. They have to be better. And then as a team, we have to be better. These are, I know it's, we get a lot of coach speak and stuff. This is like the most coach speak type stuff.
Yeah. It's stuff that like isn't helpful and I don't want to hear.
No. And I'm not saying like break down X's and O's 100%. Like don't bring out charts and show what we're doing. But the lack of kind of any specifics along, this is also, I full disclosure, this is compounded by the unstatable meme that we now possess as a team.
Yeah.
It's just compounded into like, dude, so what, like, do you control this team? Because I'd love it if Doc could, I think he does, but like, I don't know what is, I just don't know what's happening.
Yeah.
Like the I thought that was silly quote, well then what was the strategy for the game if we kept doing it?
Yeah.
Did the players just do the opposite of what you told them? Which in that case, that sucks, and I feel for you.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely. Like,
God. So we play the Warriors on Friday, then we go Spurs, and then the Mavs.
Yeah. And I would say, you know, both the close games and then Lee's recent couple of games, it does feel like we've been outcoached a little bit.
For sure.
And I'm not, you know, I would not be going as far as to say get rid of Doc or
We're
anything
not
like
saying
that.
So fire Doc.
Don't
even start that.
Don't mistake this for that.
Do not think that we're saying fire Doc.
Yeah. What I'm just, I guess, wondering is, does it mean that he doesn't have a handle on this team? Or does it mean that, you know, he just needs to work more on what these guys are individually good at? Or he needs to, once again, tinker with the lineups and stuff some more.
I think it was the individually good at thing.
Yeah.
I think that's a really good point because that's what we were doing a lot earlier in the season. We were letting guys
do that's why we had so much success.
Yeah, we were letting guys do what they do.
Yeah.
With obviously some structure. He's not just throwing them out there and saying do what you do best.
Yeah.
It also could be maybe a too many cooks situation. I don't know exactly what Tyronn Lue's doing. I don't know what Tibbs is doing. He's like weirdly maybe there in the shadows lurking.
That you know what that's
sweating.
Probably what the problem is.
Like I just don't. There's just so many questions right now. Ryan Hollins on the broadcast, first of all, not a good commentator.
Wow.
I don't like listening.
Shots fired.
I don't like listening to Ryan Hollins. He's just like, he kept saying things like, this team is still figuring it out. They're still finding their way. Dude, we're halfway through the season.
Yeah, more.
We are we're over halfway through the season. We should not be finding our way.
Yeah, definitely.
Like, I'm not saying we should be performing at the same 16-8 clip that we were at.
Mm-hmm.
But we shouldn't be like learning new things.
Yeah,
about
I agree.
The system.
Agreed.
The defensive system very rarely this year has it made the other team have to switch up their strategy.
Yeah,
which is something we kind of talked about last night, where it's like there is no fear instilled by our defense.
No.
Just kind of rough.
It's really, really rough. It's getting pretty rough to watch.
Yeah. Some people kind of think we're going to get two max players. I don't think that's happening.
No.
That was never going to happen.
No. I mean, that was kind of
That was a best case.
Best case scenario kind of thing. And even then, it would require like a lot of juggling.
Yeah. And losing of core players.
Yeah. Yeah. So I don't really see that happening. But, I mean, especially not now.
Yeah. You thirsty for anything else?
Man, I'm just thirsty for Gallo to get back to form.
Yeah, I'm thirsty for Tobias to get out of this slump.
Yeah, yeah.
At this point, it seems like he should have taken the 4 for 80.
Man, I...
You know?
I really got to agree.
It sucks, because I wanted to give him, you know, 4 for 100 or 5 for 1 something or something like that, but now it doesn't seem feasible.
He's finished with a fairly solid stat line last night. He had 17-6-3, which...
It's like a hollow... His stats are like hollow sometimes.
Yeah, totally.
Like Avery Bradley's game. It was like, great, man. This means nothing.
And he was able to turn it on in the second half, too. 15 of those 17 points came in the second half.
And weren't they like... I think at half, Tobio was like 4 for 11 or 4 for 14 or something. They were... It was awful.
Yeah,
half.
They had a... They had an uncharacteristically bad night.
What you'd think on Italian night. He'd be showing out.
You would.
You'd think Gallo ate too much garlic bread.
Probably. And the bench, I mean, I thought performed pretty well. Once again, it's still what I feel like is maybe a lack of consistency.
Mm-hmm.
Like, we know that we're going to be able to rely on double digits every night from Trez and from Lou Will.
Yeah.
But the rest of the bench is somewhat of a question mark. Some guys did really well last night. Ty Wall finished with 6. In about 9 minutes. Patrick Beverly laid a goose egg in points.
Damn.
Yeah. And
what did Scott finish with?
Let's see.
I know he had at least 1 3.
One sec.
There was a note. Someone talked about how, I think it was maybe LA Clippers film room. Fantastic Twitter if you're not following it. About how Doc is kind of, you know, he doesn't want to overuse Lou Williams.
Yeah.
But, like, if Lou doesn't play 30 minutes, we can't beat good teams.
It's not showing him in the box score.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, if Lou doesn't get 30 minutes, we don't have, especially now with how our stars are playing, we cannot beat good teams.
No.
We can't beat playoff teams in the West, which sucks because that's, like, 13 teams in the West.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
Oh, man. Yeah, I just want us to rebound. I guess we're going to rebound against the Spurs and the Mavs, or we're not, and we're going to lose 7 in a row. I don't think we'll lose 7 in a row.
Yeah.
I think we might lose on Friday. Call me crazy.
Yes.
But I think we might lose to the Warriors on Friday.
Yeah, that's going to be really, really hard.
Hopefully we're going to be hungry for the Spurs. So we go Spurs, Mavs, and then we go Heat, Bulls.
Yeah.
Which, 2 pretty winnable games.
Definitely.
Unless there's some mutiny.
Do you think that we go on a 7-game losing streak?
I don't think we go. I think it's entirely possible. I think we go on a 5-game losing streak.
Man.
Just because we're playing the Warriors.
Yeah.
And then, I mean, Spurs and Mavs, that's not, I mean, the Spurs given us trouble in this season already.
Yeah.
And we'll get into how well the Spurs played last night in a sec. And then the Mavs are the Mavs. They have Doncic, who's putting up better rookie numbers than LeBron did when LeBron was a rookie.
Yeah.
They have DeAndre, who's always hungry to beat us.
Definitely.
We could. I'm not saying we will. I think we beat... I actually think we beat the Mavs.
I mean, yeah.
And then I don't know about the Spurs.
Yeah, if it's another performance like last night or Monday.
Or the last time we played the Spurs.
Yeah.
Which was not fun.
Yeah.
Whew. Well, guys, sorry to bum you out.
Yeah, that was a
tough day.
That was very tough.
Tough day all around. Coming up after this, a very quick NBA wrap-up. So, we were just talking about the Spurs. I'm going to get it. This is out of order. But the Spurs actually beat the Mavs last night.
Wow.
In the battle for Texas. I don't know what to call this game. There's too many Texas teams. 105-101. Doncic had a cool 25-8-8. Wes Matthews had 13. Dorian Finney-Smith helped with 12 off the bench. So, here's where the Spurs terrify me. No one scored more than 17, which was Bellinelli. But,
wow.
Yeah, so that's pretty incredible. But DeMar, Rudy Gay, and Patty Mills all had 14, and Bryn Forbes and Davis Bertans had 12.
Wow.
That's like an incredible amount. This is the opposite of how the Clippers play.
Yeah, definitely. Wow, that's like really well-rounded.
It's unbelievably well-rounded. You're getting scored on from everywhere on the court in that situation. Quincy Pondexter had 9 seconds of playing time and was -3, which I think is very funny. The Spurs are now in the 6th, 1 game ahead of us.
Yeah.
They're peaking at the right time.
Definitely.
God, I don't like to see that. You want to run through this insane Brooklyn and Houston game?
Yeah. So the Nets spoiled what would have been, I mean, it still was a great performance by Harden, but they ended up beating the Rockets 145 to 142 in overtime. Man, the Nets really were able to pour it in on this one.
They're a fun team to watch.
They are, absolutely, yeah. Dinwiddie had 33. DeMar Carroll had 22. Trayvon Graham added 21. And Jared Allen had 20 and 24.
What pick was Jared Allen?
I don't know. Let me look it up.
Whatever it was, too low.
Too low, for sure.
They really needed that performance since Harden had 58, 10, and 6.
Wow.
P.J. Tucker had cool shoes and 20 points.
He was the 22nd pick.
He was the 22nd pick.
Yeah.
That's unbelievable. Eric Gordon had 20 points. So Dinwiddie had the game of his career.
Oh, yeah.
Reading the ticker on this game, I didn't watch the game, but I read the ticker and it was incredible. So he had 9 points in the last 26 seconds, all three-pointers, to get the game to overtime.
Dang.
I think they were the visiting team also, which makes this even more impressive.
Yeah.
And then he put them up by one with 28 seconds left in overtime with an and one.
It's insane.
The dude is playing out of his mind. The Nets are low-key. They have their pick this year.
Yeah.
That's a scary team in the East, dude.
Do you think that they're not going to keep Russell?
I don't know. He's a max guy right now.
Yeah.
I would say, as of today.
I know, but they're just kind of guard rich.
Yeah, that's true. I think it puts them. I think they're in a good spot where they're like, "Do we play Chris LeVert? Do we play Russell?" Like,
yeah, I think that the team is going to end up going with Caris LeVert.
See, I do too, but I think they should keep Russell. He's had his best years there.
Yeah,
he seems to
best year.
Year, true. Very good point. He seems to like embrace the team, and like everyone else seems to like him on the team, which was he got kind of slandered by the Lakers and stuff.
Yeah, there was definitely like questions as to his locker room presence. Yeah.
His rookie year was the Kobe farewell tour, which like is a wash of a rookie year.
Definitely.
Same thing with Randall.
Yeah.
There was a good point about Randall where like Randall's rookie year was the year before the Kobe farewell tour, mm-hmm. but he broke his leg his rookie year.
Oof.
So that's a wash. And then your second year is when you're just trying to tank and you just let Kobe do whatever he wants. Nothing wrong with that. Kobe deserved that. But like that's a hard first 2 years to have.
Definitely. Yeah.
I hope they keep Russell. He's a great player.
Yeah.
I'd love him on the Clips.
Yeah. I mean, I'd be really interested. He's one of those guys, and we've talked about this previously, but his rookie contract is up this year. Mm-hmm. No one was smart enough or no one had the foresight to give him an early extension.
The Dinwiddie type situation.
Yeah. So he's going to be hitting the market this summer.
We could make a play for him.
Yeah. I'm really curious to see what ends up happening.
It'd be cool. All right. Going to give you guys a very brief rundown of the Golden State Pelicans game. Golden State beat the Pels 147 to 140. Thanks for not giving them a loss before they play us, Pels. They won't be as mad. I thought that was kind of nice of them.
Yeah.
KD had 30 and 15. Steph had 41. Kevon Looney had 7 and 12. God. AD had 30, 18, and 5.
Wow.
Jrue Holiday had 25, 6, and 7. Mirotić had 29 off the bench. Julius Randle had 23 and 7. The healthy Pels team might be like the most fun team to watch in the league that still loses.
Yeah. Yeah, that's fair.
Like, yeah. They're 3.5 games out of the 8th seed. Do they make the playoffs? Snap decision.
Oh, man. I want to say no.
I say no, too. I think they had that early season. They played well, and then they had such a bad stretch.
Yeah. And once again, they're just in a position where if anybody gets hurt,
they're screwed. Oh, man. Guys, thanks for tuning in.
Yeah, thanks so much, guys.
You know, kind of a bit of a tough day.
Bit of a tough day, but you know what? We'll come back even stronger.
We're bouncing back. We're here every Monday through Friday. We'll set it off top. Please rate, subscribe, like on iTunes. We just got a 5-star review the other day. That felt good to read.
Oh, that's awesome. Thanks so much, guys. That's major for us.
We're going to be previewing the Warriors versus Clippers game tomorrow, ranking the Pacific Division, and playing everyone's favorite game.
Love, marry, kill.
I have been positive Chuck Mockler.
And I'm William the Opinion Updike. Thanks again for tuning in, guys.